reading from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death engraven with letters upon stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. A continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him and saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion, and going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thine opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. You can kneel for the prayer for vocations. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Mass announcements. Our festival weekend has arrived. You probably saw it to my left outside. A weekend where we all work together and have fun. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. Most of our proceeds come from the dinner tickets and raffle tickets. This income is important to all of our parish programs throughout the year. Hope everyone has a good time. Second, Wednesday, August 15th, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a holy day of obligation. Masses at St. Mary's of Pine Bluff are 7:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. 5:30 p.m. is a traditional Latin Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's review day. The gospel brings together charity and mercy in the story of the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho and the Good Samaritan. So we put on our thinking caps very early in the morning. I know that in and of itself is, I'm asking for great diligence. We'll cover St. Thomas a little bit on these two issues, St. Thomas Aquinas on charity and then mercy. So you might have heard this before, but the review is always good because it solidifies it in our head. Whether charity is friendship. Summa Theologica, second part of the second part, question 23, first article. So is charity friendship? Maybe it's mercy. Maybe it's something else. Whether charity is friendship. Not every love has the character of friendship, but that love which is together with benevolence, when, namely, we love someone as to wish good to them. If, however, we don't wish good to what we love, but wish it's good for ourselves, it is love not of friendship, but of a kind of concupiscence. For it would be absurd to speak of having friendship for wine, or friendship for a sports car, or friendship for Formula One racing that I like. It's concupiscence. It's one of these things we like. Yet neither does well-wishing suffice for friendship. For a certain mutual love is requisite, since friendship is between friend and friend. And this well-wishing is founded on some kind of communication. It's very logical, very basic. Accordingly, since there is a communication between man and God, inasmuch as he, God, communicates his happiness to us, some kind of friendship must needs be based on this same communication. Therefore, that love which is based on this communication is charity. Wherefore, it is evident that charity is the friendship of man and God, the great first commandment. Objection. Number two. There is no friendship without return of love. You just said it. But charity extends even to one's enemies, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Therefore, charity is not friendship. Gotcha, St. Thomas. Reply. Friendship extends to a person in two ways. First, in respect of himself, and in this way, friendship never extends but to one's friends. Secondly, it extends to someone in respect of another, as when a man has friendship for a certain person. For his sake, he loves all belonging to him, be they children, servants, or connected with him in any way. Indeed, so much do we love our friends that for their sake we love all who belong to them, even if they hurt or hate us, so that relation to God, so that in this way the friendship of charity extends even to our enemies, whom we love out of charity in relation to God, to whom the friendship of charity is chiefly directed. Case in point. Man loves a woman. He'll even love her in-laws. Right? Because he loves her so much, he's willing to put up with everything else, someone in the extended family. Yes, and she is even willing to put up with his in-laws. It's a miracle. That's what Thomas is talking about. That is why we love our enemies. Because we love God so much, we can love our enemies. Common sense. Mercy, St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologica, second part of the second part, question 31, first article. You've heard me on this before. Whether mercy is the greatest of the virtues. Thomas says, with regards to its subject, mercy is not the greatest virtue, unless that subject be greater than all others, surpassed by none and excelling all. Since for him that has anyone above him, it is better to be united to that which is above than to supply the defect of that which is beneath. So it is better to love God above, better to be attached to what is above, than to supply the deficiency to those who are in need. Hence, as regards man who has God above him, charity which unites him to God is greater than mercy, whereby he supplies the defects of his neighbor. But for all the virtues, excluding that one to God, all the other virtues which relate to our neighbor, mercy is the greatest, even as its act surpasses all others, since it belongs to one who is higher and better to supply the defect of another, insofar as the latter is deficient. Why is Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta so loved? Because she extended mercy so liberally, right? Everybody can love that. It is a sign of the predominance and the prominence of mercy. Aspects of love, aspects of justice, relation to that. The supernatural love of charity is rare. This is from Father Gary Goulagrange, a good Dominican. The supernatural love of charity is rare among men because many seek their own interests primarily and more readily and easily comprehend the formula, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That one's easy to get to, right? It's like a knee-jerk reaction. Most of us here, with a little prompting, will revert to this. If somebody ill-treats us, we stay with mercy and charity this long, maybe this long, but we go to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth pretty quickly. Just imagine Our Lady of the Suburbs Parish, everybody racing to get out of the parking lot for the Packer game. You see how quickly things devolve. Wouldn't happen here, but in Our Lady of Suburbia, it could happen. Even of an adversary, we must tell ourselves that we can and ought to love him with the same supernatural theological love as we have for the divine persons. For we ought to love him in the image of God, the divine life he possesses or is called to receive. That's a tall order. Someone might respond, but is this truly loving man? Is it not loving God only in man, like admiring a diamond in a jewel case? Charity, however, does not love God only in man, but man in God and man himself for God. It truly loves what man should be, not just what he is in the moment. Imagine someone on death row. Maybe a heinous crime. The love of God sees still the potential of that man on death row to be a saint. It does not stop at justice. It goes on to mercy and love. Aspects of justice. Whereas justice inclines us to wish good to another inasmuch as he is another who is distinct for us, charity makes us love him as another self, an alter ego with supernatural friendship. The way the saints in heaven love each other. That's the way the saints in heaven love each other, as an alter ego. Our charity should be universal and can't exclude anyone on earth, in purgatory, or in heaven. Our charity stops only at the gates of hell, for the damned can't be loved because they are no longer capable of becoming children of God. We are not required to love those in hell with a supernatural love. However, it's beautiful from St. Thomas Aquinas, even in the damnation of the reprobate, mercy is seen, which though it does not totally remit, yet somewhat alleviates, and punishing short of what is deserved. God could punish them further in hell, but there is a certain mercy in the level of punishment he gives them in relation to what they deserve against God. So, with all that, the Good Samaritan, he gives new meaning to the term continuum of care. Think of what he did. Just run this through once so you can find a hole in what he did. Binds his wounds, takes him to the inn, takes care of him at the end, gave money for continued care, promised to come back and pay whatever is spent for his care above that amount. It's to such an extent one can't argue that the Good Samaritan didn't love his neighbor as himself. Justice encountered mercy which exceeded it. But what if the man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho had previously attacked the Good Samaritan in Jerusalem, perhaps the day before he left? Now you have another level of divine love in the Good Samaritan, loving his enemy in what the enemy should be. There is no greater measure of our love of God than to love our enemy. There are a million reasons to hate our enemy. When I tell someone they should love their neighbor, their enemy, I will immediately get, like drinking out of a fire hydrant, a million reasons why this is an exception to that. Father, Father, you've never experienced this. Yes, love your enemy. But this one's so bad that you've never heard this. And I'm going to give you a million and one reasons why this one is an exception. I cannot do it. One thing tips the scales. God loves your enemy, and you're required to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.